Hello and welcome to Click Sports with Jeff. I am Jeff, as is probably obvious. And before I get to the big news of from the sports world today, I'm going to give a quick sports update. So first we're going to start off with baseball. And earlier today, Detroit beat Texas 3-2. Kansas City beat Minnesota 10-5. Oakland beat the White Sox 7-4 in 10 innings. And Toronto beat Seattle 8-3. Going on right now in the top of the fifth, Cincinnati is beating San Diego 2-0. Milwaukee and Pittsburgh are tied in the top of the fifth in their games at 0. In the bottom of the fourth, the Angels are beating the Indians. And the Indians have been hot lately, so that's actually pretty big news. In the top of the fourth, Philadelphia and Washington are tied at 0. In the middle of the fourth now, the Marlins are on top of the Braves 5-0. In the bottom of the third, the Mets are beating the Rockies 2-0. And in the bottom of the second, the Yankees are on top of the Orioles 4-0. Actually, seeing that score with the Indians kind of makes me want to talk about them for a while, because they've been pretty hot ever since they played the Red Sox. They've won 8 or 9 straight now. And seeing them down 3-1 to the Angels, who I feel are not as good of a team as the Indians are at this point in time, is actually kind of surprising. It's kind of good to see, because I didn't think the Angels would be that good this year. And since they are beating the Indians, I mean, obviously they're doing pretty good. I'm pretty excited to see how the Indians do this year, just from seeing this 8 or 9 game win streak, whatever it's been. Because the Indians can be really, really good if they want to be. I mean, and I think they're kind of tired of being at the bottom of their division, because they really have been at the bottom of their division ever since 2007. They got to the ALCS against the Red Sox in 2007 and then lost after taking a 3-1 lead in the series. And the Red Sox won the World Series that year against the Rockies, as most people will remember. And so Cleveland is really tired of being at the bottom of that division, where they have been the past 2-3 years. And seeing them do that, I'm liking how the Indians are playing, and they should challenge that division if they play like they have been lately. Now, the big news today, and this is gigantic, gigantic news, is that the verdict for the Barry Bonds perjury trial came out. And I have to say, I'm not happy with it. He was only convicted of obstruction of justice. The judge declared mistrial in basically the perjury parts of the trial. In the parts where it was questioned if he lied about either being injected with some needles that he didn't know what was in them, or if he knowingly took steroids or human growth hormone, excuse me. It was called a mistrial because the jury was deadlocked. They couldn't make a decision, and that doesn't make this a true trial, because the judge had to call it a mistrial because the jury couldn't make up their minds. In my mind, that is a no-brainer. I've watched Barry Bonds play for years. I remember him back in like 2000 to 2001, and especially the 2002 season, where he hit 73 home runs and the Giants went to the World Series where they lost to the Angels. So I remember Barry pretty well. And the fact that he isn't being convicted of knowingly taking steroids or human growth hormone or being injected with needles, the fact that there was no decision made really kind of ticks me off, because there should be a decision made in a case like this. I mean, it bothers me that a jury in a federal case can't come to a decision and the judge has to call it a mistrial. The only good part that comes out of this is that he can be tried for them later. Because he was not found guilty or not guilty, the double jeopardy law does not go into effect. So, I mean, at least he can be retried for them if the government wants to. And I think if they retry him, I think that he will hopefully be convicted. Because in my heart, there's no way that Barry Bonds can go from what he was in Pittsburgh when he came into the majors to what he was in San Francisco. I remember a few years ago, probably right at the end of Barry's career, I was talking with some friends about Barry and giving my point, which was that I believe that he took steroids. And one of them said, no way, that he totally did that in the weight room. And I lift a lot. And I see some guys on my football team gain a ton of muscle lifting. But none of them gain as much as Barry Bonds did when he went to San Francisco. So in my mind, there's absolutely no way in the world that Barry Bonds could not have knowingly used steroids or human growth hormone, because he tested positive at one point in his career. That's a documented fact. He did test positive, and so if he tested positive, how can you not put him in jail? He lied to a federal court. He lied to Congress. What's worse than lying to your own government so that you aren't looked bad upon in the eyes of baseball fans? He lied because he was trying to save face. He lied so that he would look like this awesome baseball player that can hit 73 home runs. Newsflash, no one can hit 73 home runs without having some help. 73 home runs in 162 games, while that sounds possible, should not be possible. It's just too hard to hit 73 home runs in a season when you have pitchers who are throwing upwards of 90 to 100 miles an hour. In my mind, I can't honestly understand how the jury cannot make a decision on those three counts and that Barry will maybe go to jail for like 3 months at the most. It bothers me that people can be this indecisive. The point of a trial is to make a decision. It's not to have someone go there, spend weeks there, and this trial has actually been going on for years, because it's ever since a bunch of players testified to Congress in Washington, D.C. So it's been going on since then. And so this has been tying up Barry Bonds for, it's been at least 5, 6, maybe 7 years. It ended his career, and the jury can't come to a decision. I cannot, in my mind, come to any thought that would make sense for anybody. Something has to be done in a trial. You can't just let someone go free because half the people think he didn't lie and half the people think he did. You have to get a majority and you have to make a decision. I will have a problem with this until, hopefully, Barry Bonds is retried for it in a year or two. So if it wastes more of his life, that's not my problem. It's his for taking steroids. And so, well, that's really my take on it. And the other thing I found really interesting that I found out about today was Kobe Bryant and his gay slur. And the gay slur is exactly what you think it is. I don't want to say what he said because it bothers me. Not that I'm gay, but I think it's kind of wrong to use that kind of language in a professional sporting game, and I'm trying to keep this a kind of clean show, so I don't want to say what he said, even though I know what he said. And I think Kobe was fined $100,000 for what he said. And what happened was Kobe was running down the court after one of the Lakers' possessions in last night's game, and the ref in that game called Kobe for a technical. And Kobe got pulled over to got taken out of the game. Phil Jackson came and put him on the bench because he got called for that technical. And as Kobe was going down, one of his teammates tried to hand him something, and Kobe just punched out of the air, and it looked like he punched his teammate, but his teammate didn't react, so maybe he missed him, but he punched whatever his teammate was handing him out of the air, and just kind of sat down. He called the ref out, like the ref's name was Benny, and he yelled, "Benny!" at the ref, just trying to get his attention, and then he used the gay slur. And the gay slur is something I've heard people use when they're pissed off in sporting events in high school. And I think in high school, it's more because kids just kind of don't really care what they say. No one really will ever know what they say except for people who are there. So I think in high school, kids just will yell stuff and people won't hear it and it'll be okay, because it won't go on to anything other than that. But in a professional sporting event, I don't find any room for this kind of language. Especially towards a ref who this is their job. These refs, this is how they get paid. This is how they make their livelihood. And you don't... I mean, I've had problems with refs in my life. But I can't find any point in time where I used what Kobe said at a ref. Or, like, I had a lot of problems with baseball umpires when I played baseball. Especially when I was in rookie league when I was younger. And, I mean, these umpires would piss me off because their strike zones would be, I would feel they'd be off. But I would never go as far as to use what Kobe said towards an umpire. Because, well, I respected the umpire. The only ever time I had a huge confrontation with an umpire was one game where I almost got ejected for what I was saying. And what I was saying was justified, at least it was in my mind. And I almost started cussing out the umpire in front of a bunch of basically just parents. And luckily, my coach caught me, and he pulled me back before I started cussing the umpire out. And, I mean, he got thrown out of the game because he knew what I was saying to the ref was right. And but he saved my ass. And, I mean, but even in a tirade like that where the ref or the umpire was wrong, and the umpire in my instance was wrong, you can't go as far as to say a gay slur. That's just wrong. It is completely wrong. It will always be wrong. And I have a huge problem with Kobe using language like that. I think Kobe, he needs to sit down and give a formal apology. He went on the radio today and went and did a press conference and stuff, and he talked about what he said, but he never gave an apology. He never said he was sorry for what he said. He was saying that what he said was justified. And in my mind, it will never, never be justified for him to use a language like that in a professional sporting event where not only are adults and teenagers and stuff watching who know that word, but little kids who are going to end up looking up to him. Kids who don't know these words, who look up to Kobe, think because Kobe is one of the best basketball players in the league. They look up to him and they look at him as a hero, and Kobe goes on and he uses that kind of language. And you just can't do that, especially when a camera's on you. I mean, every once in a while, you'll see a middle finger go up in a sporting event because there's a heckler and the player is trying to show the heckler that, like, what he's saying is, well, he doesn't like what he's saying. So there'll be a middle finger goes up every once in a while, like it's on national TV. It happened to the Broncos a couple years ago. Jake Plummer did it. And, I mean, that's not right either, but what Kobe said is 100 times worse just because of what it is. It's just wrong, and it should never, ever be a part of a professional sporting event. So I hope Kobe gives an apology, but I'm also kind of glad that karma caught him in that game because Andrew Bynum got hurt. But I'm kind of hoping he has some kind of setback soon and that he's not okay for the playoffs, because I think that's kind of karma catching up to Kobe really quick, because Kobe's supposed to be this good guy and all. But, I mean, oh well. So, now I'm going to take a break, and we're going to listen to some Lupe Fiasco, some Flo Rida, and some Eminem.
All day and all night, the hottest hits on planet Earth are right here. Right here. This is...
Y'all know the name.
Click Radio.
Lay. Sir.
Alright, so I was just looking at ESPN, and I saw a story about an Auburn player, who's an ex-Auburn player, who's going to talk to the NCAA about players receiving money, and that got me thinking, what makes a good player in college football? And honestly, my favorite football player, in college at least, would be the one who goes up to the agent... or whoever it is that's giving them money, goes up to them and says, hey, you know what? I don't want this. I don't need this. Why are you trying to give me money? And then hands it back to them. The person who goes and gives the money back to whoever it is that's giving it to them, that's going to be the player that everyone's a fan of. Like, everyone that I know was a fan of Tim Tebow. I don't know one person who didn't like him in college. Tim Tebow would be a person who does that. Tim Tebow would never accept money because he's playing football in college. He'd accept it because he's playing professionally, because that's his job. In college, that's just a hobby. It's something he does during his off time. So... I think there needs to be more Tim Tebows in college football. More people who aren't afraid to go up and say to these agents, I don't need this money. I'm not afraid to give it back to you. I'm not afraid of what people will think, because honestly, people will look good on that player. They'll look at that player and be like, well, why can't these other people do that? Why are all these other players taking this money that they obviously don't need? Because you're in college. You have your parents. Your parents, you're getting your education paid for. If your parents even started a college fund, you have money that you can use in college. You don't need to go to these agents and be like, hey, I need $2,500. Can you give it to me? Because the agents will be like, yeah. And then that ends up screwing you over, and it screws your team over after you're not there. Because your team gets sanctions, and you're not there to take the brunt of them, but it's all the people after you. Because all the sanctions come after whatever player did these things, after they did them. So, I just don't understand how there can be this culture in college football of people taking money and not realizing... this could hurt my program in the future. I need to give this money back so that my program doesn't get hurt. I think college football players need to be more upstanding. They're bad people. Honestly, they are. Most of them come from the ghetto now. I mean, at least that's what it seems like. And they're all like saying, oh, I grew up poor. I'm going to take all this money. Well, you don't need the money. You're getting your education paid for. People who need money are kids who have student loans that will take them most of their lives to pay off. If these college football players had student loans, it'd take them like 2 years to pay them off, because they're going to go on to a sport where they're going to make $10 million a year, if at least that, coming out of college if they're a high draft pick. So the fact that so many people are taking money and not even second-guessing it really, really, really bothers me. And I really think there need to be more people who aren't afraid to go up and go up to these agents and be like, take your money back. Take, like, I'm not going to go on these plane rides to these parties and take all these gifts from you. I don't want them. I don't need them. You need to, agents need to stop going up to college players who are still in college, still enrolled in classes, still playing for a college team. They need to stop bribing them. These players will come out of college and hire an agent when they're good and ready. These agents need to step back and stop taking money, or not taking money, but giving money to these players. They need to step back and get out of college football. The NCAA needs to do something where they can, where they need to ban all NFL scouts from college football. Probably NBA scouts too, because there's basketball problems too. USC was sanctioned a couple of years ago. So, I mean, these agents need to stop going to players and giving them gifts, taking them to parties, flying them places. Agents are just bad for sports. They're good once you are out of college, but when you're in college, they're bad. So, the Reggie Bush story is probably the biggest example of this. Except it's more aimed at the college rather than an agent, but it's still the biggest example of a player taking gifts and then there's sanctions on his team after he leaves that he doesn't have to bear the brunt of, but his team does. And so the Reggie Bush story is that when Reggie Bush was being recruited by USC, he was one of the highest recruits out of high school. Like, everyone was recruiting him. And USC gave his mom, like, they paid the rent for his mother's house in California or something. And then they also gave them, like, an SUV. And, I mean, that's, I don't think as much the house is happening with college players and agents, but I think cars are happening. I think a lot of players are getting money to pay for cars from agents. So the agents are quasi buying them cars, and I just have a problem with that. And I really think that the agents need to be banned from college football. And I don't know if that'll happen, but I hope that it does. So let's go and get another update. Bottom of the seventh, Cincinnati is still beating San Diego 2-0. In the top of the seventh, Milwaukee is beating Pittsburgh 4-0. Bottom of the sixth, the Angels are still beating the Indians 3-2. Also in the bottom of the sixth, the Marlins are on top of the Braves 5-0. At the end of the fifth, Philadelphia is beating Washington 3-0. Top of the fifth, the Mets are beating the Rockies 3-1. Bottom of the fourth, the Yankees are on top of Baltimore 6-0. And in the bottom of the second, the Cubs are beating Houston 5-0. And I was just, oh, big news now, Colorado just took the lead in the top of the fifth against the Mets 4-3. So this Cubs game, I was watching it. It started while I was talking during my first segment, and before I could even look back at it, it was 5-0 Cubs. That was shocking, because it was the top of the first, and it was 5-0. I mean, what game does that happen in? So, I mean, seeing the Cubs, who honestly aren't even that great of a team, going up against another team who's also not that great, 5-0, but still, I mean, it's the first inning. That should never happen. Like, you should never get 5 runs in an inning, let alone the first inning. So, I mean, that's crazy that a team can go up like that. And the Rockies' home run was a 3-run home run by Troy Tulowitzki. Oddly enough, Troy Tulowitzki has been the star for the Rockies. Tulo has been their spark plug ever since he was drafted, it seems. I mean, Tulo's doing awesome this year too. I don't know how many home runs he has, but it seems like every time I turn on SportsCenter and I see Rockies highlight, Tulo's hitting a home run. So Tulo's going to have a gigantic year this year, and I'm expecting the Rockies to do really big things in that division. And when playoffs come around, I'd watch out for them, because they're pitching well, they're hitting well, their defense is doing good. I mean, what can't these Rockies do? And honestly, I'm excited to see what they can do. So even if my team is sucking, which they are, and everyone knows it, as long as the Rockies are doing fine, I think I'm still going to enjoy the season in baseball. So I'm probably going to keep higher tabs on the Rockies until the Red Sox can actually start winning. But that's just me. And so now we're going to take another break, and we're going to listen to some B.O.B., some Frey, and some Train. So before I go on to my next topic, I'm going to give another update. At the end of the 7th, Cincinnati's beaten San Diego 2-1. Cleveland is losing to the Angels 3-2 in the top of the 8th. Bottom of the 7th, Milwaukee on top of Pittsburgh 6-0. Middle of the 7th, Florida on top of Atlanta 5-0. End of the 6th, Philadelphia on top of Washington 3-0. Top of the 6th, Colorado keeping their one-run lead over the Mets 4-3. Middle of the 5th, the Yankees on top of Baltimore 6-0. Top of the 3rd, Chicago on top of Houston 5-0. In the NBA, in the second quarter, Boston is beating New York 47-43. Also in the second quarter, Chicago's beating New Jersey 39-30. Again, another game in the second quarter. Washington on top of Cleveland, 42-33. Yet another game in the second quarter. In fact, every game I will be talking about is in the second quarter. Dallas is losing to New Orleans, 39-34. Houston is beating Minnesota, 47-42. Orlando's beating Indiana, 36-26. Detroit is beating Philadelphia, 44-40. Milwaukee is beating Oklahoma City on top of Milwaukee, 42-35. Denver is beating Utah, 46-43. Miami is beating Toronto, 45-35. And Charlotte is on top of Atlanta, 49-35. In the NHL, Detroit is beating Phoenix, 3-1 at the end of the second period. Also, at the end of the second period, Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh are tied at 0. In the second period, the Rangers and Washington are tied at 0, and later tonight, Chicago and Vancouver will play, and Anaheim and Nashville will play. So my next topic is the Denver Nuggets. And the Denver Nuggets have had a great season. Even going through all the melodrama, I really like that title for that, and stuff that has happened this year, and it kind of sucks for them because, I mean, having to go through something where your superstar wants out. And, I mean, he wanted out, like, as quick as possible. He wanted out in the offseason before the season even started. I mean, so having to deal with that for half the season was, I mean, it sucks for the Nuggets. It might be one reason that they're only the 5 seed in the West instead of, I mean, if this had never happened, they could be something like probably the 3, maybe the 4. And they would have challenged Oklahoma City in their division more than they did this year. And now that that's all over, the Nuggets have been playing awesome. The guys they got from the Knicks have been playing amazing. The Tar Heel combo of Lawson and whatever, I can't think of the other guy's name. And this is really sad. This is the second time this has happened on my show, that I've forgotten someone's name on one of my favorite teams. That's not really good at all. But the Tar Heel combo at point guard is working out really well. And Ty Lawson hit 10 threes the other night, which is an NBA record. And that was amazing. And so, I mean, Darko Milicic has been playing really good. And so, I mean, the guys they got from the Knicks have been playing awesome. And it's one reason that the Nuggets, I think, are a team to watch in the playoffs. They may only be a 5 seed, and depending on who they get to play, they could definitely be a team that pulls a couple of upsets and gets really, really deep in the playoffs. The problem is they don't know who they're playing yet. They are playing one of three teams. They're either playing the Mavs, Oklahoma City, or the Lakers. So right now they don't know who to focus on for the playoffs so that they can focus on getting ready for them and getting ready to hopefully beat them. But they have to think, which team can we beat? And obviously, I mean, that George Karl thinks it's the Mavs. I agree. I do definitely agree. I think the Mavs, if the Nuggets get to play the Mavs, that's the best, absolute best possible scenario that the Nuggets have for winning in this first round. I think they can beat the Lakers too. I think the Lakers, in the midst of this Kobe incident and Andrew Bynum getting hurt, I think Andrew Bynum will be limited in the playoffs. I think this will bother him in the playoffs, and he'll probably end up injuring himself like he does every year around the playoffs. And I think that will factor a large part into the Lakers' game plan. And I think if the Nuggets get to play the Lakers, they will have a very good chance of beating them, especially with how good they're playing. The Nuggets are a very, very, very good team, and I'm excited to see what they can do in the playoffs. They're going to be good no matter... they're going to be good in the playoffs no matter who they get to play. And I think no matter what team they play, I think that they'll at least take them 2-5 to 7 games in their first round 7-game series. I think just because the Nuggets are a lower seed and they are playing some pretty good teams, I think it'll be a 5-7 game series for the Nuggets in the first round. And, I mean, if they move on, every round they play will probably be like that just because they're a 5 seed. It's just what happens. And I hope that they get either the Mavs or the Lakers because I think they can beat them, but I'm not sure that they can beat the Thunder. They've had problems with the Thunder because all year. I don't know how many times they beat them, but the Thunder definitely won the season series. And I think the Thunder are another team that can make a deep run in the playoffs. So even if the Nuggets and Thunder get matched up later in the playoffs, at least the Nuggets will move on from the first round. And being a 5 seed, that's pretty good. So I hope that they're playing the Mavs or the Lakers because I definitely think that the Nuggets can beat them. And I think that's their best chance. Now, I want to talk about the Masters a little bit more and just how awesome that was to watch on Sunday. And I remember Charles' last name because I couldn't remember when I was doing my show, when I was doing my special on Monday, and I was doing a quick reaction to it, basically. And I couldn't remember Charles' last name. It was Charles Schwartzel, who was the champion of the Masters. And how he won, just birdieing those last four holes, I thought was absolutely amazing. I have never seen anyone finish like that because the last person to finish like that was Jack Nicklaus, and Jack Nicklaus played before I was born. So, I mean, to win a Masters by birdieing the last four holes is obviously a crazy feat. I really hope that Charles Schwartzel goes on to a very, very, very huge PGA career. I think he is a very good golfer. He won the Masters. You obviously have to be a really good golfer to win the Masters. But I don't think he'll slip into obscurity like Trevor Immelman kind of has. Because Trevor Immelman really hasn't won anything since he won the Masters a few years ago. And I think Charles and basically everyone else who was in the hunt for winning the Masters on Sunday, they're all really good golfers, and they should all stick around as long as, I mean, they can. I mean, they're all really, really good golfers, and they should all be names in every tournament for years to come. Most of them were young guys Tiger and Angel Cabrera, guys like them, they aren't really that young. Tiger will probably be around for another 10 years, though. Tiger will be around for as long as he wants to. And Tiger, obviously, he's not giving up after what's happened to him. So Tiger will stick around. He'll hopefully end his lack of winning streak, his losing streak. There we go. That's a better word for it. He'll hopefully end it soon. It'll probably be a small tournament. It won't be like the U.S. Open or something. But he'll probably end it soon, and that'll be good for him. It'll get his confidence up. And next year, he should come back. He'll be in the run for the Masters again and probably every other major. I mean, he'll be in the run for the U.S. Open and the PGA and the British Open again this year just based off that Masters. I mean, I know last year he kind of played good at the Masters, but last year he died in the last round. This year he played amazing in the last round. So there's obviously a difference between Tiger a year ago in the Masters and Tiger this year in the Masters. And I think this Tiger is going to stick around, and he's going to win a couple tournaments very soon. And maybe he'll win the U.S. Open or the British Open or the PGA Championship. But, I mean, we'll have to see when those happen. So, I mean, you really don't know with Tiger. Tiger could have a complete collapse, but I don't believe he will. I think he'll go on and he'll be a good golfer for a couple years. And, I mean, it's going to be exciting to see how this year plays out. Like, who wins tournaments, who doesn't win tournaments. It's going to be an exciting year for golf. And while I probably won't watch any more of it, because I usually only watch one day a year, and that's the Masters, I think they will have more. They'll have more viewers for their tournaments, and that is huge for them. And I think golf might even get more popular in America just after this Masters, where 10 people were in the running at one point or another, and I think that's huge. I mean, I just think that is absolutely awesome for the world of golf. I mean, I'm not a big follower of golf, but I mean, who really is? But they will get some more viewers, and I believe that with all my heart. I mean, it won't be teenagers, but I mean, they'll get some more adults, and that's really what they care about, because that's who they go for, because honestly, that's who plays golf. Because golf isn't a really big sport at any high school, no matter where you go. It's not really that big of a sport. It's not really in college either. It's not like you're going out every weekend to go watch a golf match. I mean, if you're going out to watch something in sports, it's going to be basketball or football mostly, and every once in a while, I go watch a baseball game. So, I mean, golf, there'll be some good tournaments, but, I mean, the Masters was crazy, absolutely crazy. It was the best Masters I have ever seen, and I was completely happy with the result. So, well, that's basically all I have for tonight. This has been Jeff with Click Sports with Jeff. Have a great rest of your Wednesday and a great rest of your week, Fort Collins. We'll see you later.